Now, WTOP goes in depth on the issues that affect you. It's Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell.
At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. The University of Virginia must remain a great university.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Now, a special edition of Ask the Governor, the UVA controversy. Here are WTOP's Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Your phone calls are welcome at 877-336-1035. The number again is 877-336-1035. Email a question at WTOP.com. We're also taking questions on our Facebook page or Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Once again, here's Mark C. Graves.
Governor, thanks for joining us. We know you were late because of traffic. How are you liking D.C. traffic?
D.C. traffic, not Virginia traffic.
We call that progress.
Well, it was construction, and yes, it was unanticipated, so I apologize to you and your listeners.
Well, we appreciate you making the trip.
My first time after 3 years of this.
You get a gimme on that one.
Let's
get right to UVA because that's obviously what a lot of people are looking at. Today is the day, it appears, that the Board of Visitors will meet later this afternoon. What, as the 15-member board goes into this meeting today, what is your guidance to them?
What I told them last week, Mark, was that this matter needed to be resolved quickly, to create certainty for the future leadership of this great university, that the matter needed to be brought to an end, it needed to be transparent, and that the board needed to come out of this with a very clear and unified statement about the future leadership of the university. And if they fail to do that today, that I'd ask for their resignations tomorrow. I want this to be done. Now, I'm not instructing them how to vote and what to do. I think that would be absolutely inappropriate. I outlined in some great detail last week what I believe the proper role for a governor is. I mean, we've been getting obviously calls and letters, and there's been the predictable media frenzy. But this is a dispute within the family. This is a management decision. Boards are tasked with managing universities. They know more than I do, than any politician, than faculty or others know about what the strategic direction is of the university and how well the president is doing. So what I've simply said is, do what's best for the short and long-term interests of the university, but let's get this thing finalized now. The uncertainty and some of the chaos on campus the last couple of weeks is unacceptable, and let's get a firm decision made, articulate it well, and then let's move forward.
Do you think the board did a disservice to the state and the university by the process that was either adhered to or not adhered to?
Well, I was clear in the letter last week that I thought the process certainly could have been handled better. There is a process for the removal of a president. It requires a two-thirds majority. I think the rector outlined in some great detail last Thursday and Friday the reasons for that. I think they felt bound by confidentiality agreements to not do that before that. But it created a focus more on the process and not on the merits of whether or not this great university was moving in the right direction, and when some of the legitimate concerns being raised were properly addressed. So, yeah, I was critical of the process. I think many were. And the board themselves admitted, I think in retrospect, that that they should have done some things done differently. And that's why I said, look, y'all have the board meeting today that they had motioned last Thursday that they were going to have. But come out of here with resolution that is very clear about the future leadership of the university.
So if they vote to uphold her resignation or termination, or if they vote to reinstate her, you will support either of those two decisions?
I'm supporting the board. The board is hired, and this board, by the way, is made up of half Kane appointees and half McDonnell appointees. These are some very outstanding people. Almost all of them are UVA grads. All of them give incredibly generously of their time and their talent. Many give generously financially to the university. These are all very, very capable people who, first and foremost, I think, love the university. But they want it to excel. They have set, you know, very high standards. The General Assembly and I have set very high standards for the university, and we want those that flagship university to continue to grow. So my goal is to have finality, but I trust these excellent people on the board to make the right decision.
And how do you rate the progress of the university under President Sullivan? How do you see the past 2 years? Was the university heading in the right direction?
I can tell you it's not my job directly to rate the performance of a president. And let me just tell you what. There are 15 universities that are four-year publics. There are 23 community colleges. I have about 300 boards and commissions that I appoint people to. There's no way that a governor or a politician or others really can competently evaluate the work that a leader of a university has done. Now, having said that, education reform has been a big piece of what I've asked to be accomplished in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Last year, we had a unanimous bill passed. Every Democrat and Republican bought into the plans that I had crafted with the presidents and with the rectors over the last couple of years to say, look, we're a great university system, perhaps the best public university system in America, but you know, the Chinese and others aren't just sitting around waiting to see how if we're doing well. They're going to it's a competitive world. So we need greater access to universities. This double digit increase in tuition every 10 years, unacceptable. Young people are in too much debt. We've got to use a greater use of technology. We need to bump up research and development. We need more initiatives and incentives coming out of our universities. We need to focus more on job creation. Young people got to come out and have access to the American dream by getting a good job. We need to do better to retain the best and brightest faculty, of which we've got great people at UVA. So all those things need to be done. So while we are great, status quo is not acceptable. I mean, we've got to continue to move forward in this globally competitive world. Now, Dr. Sullivan worked with us at the Higher Education Advisory Council to help craft some of these policies. She was the first one really to step out and say UVA will do its part and bump up the number of slots that we will offer. That helps, frankly, a lot of Northern Virginia citizens that want to get into great Virginia schools. We were very delighted to see that. They kept their tuition down at 3.8% this year, far better than the 10% it's been averaging over the last couple of years. So some of the things that I've seen as the governor of Virginia, that UVA, and frankly some other universities have done, we're moving in the right direction. But I say that for us to maintain our position of world-class excellence in higher education, there's still a lot more that needs to be done. Greatness can only be preserved if we don't accept the status quo and we continue to find ways to implement the reforms the General Assembly and I have set forth.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell here taking your calls, emails, Facebook, and Twitter questions on Ask the Governor. More right after this.
Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
The number to call to be a part of the program is 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com, or you can send in your question on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor, back to the UVA discussion. While you say it's not your role, the role of the governor, to dictate who the president of the university is, it is your role to decide who the board of visitors are. You do get to make that decision. And in fact, Helen Dragas, who is the rector who seems to have been behind this whole move to oust the president, her term is up in July, and you'll either have to reappoint her or not reappoint her, and that decision is expected to be made perhaps right this minute. Why don't you tell us what your thoughts are about reappointing
Mark, you're such a good host. You always ask very insightful questions, always looking for news, and I appreciate that very much. Now, first of all, your facts are a little bit wrong.
Okay.
Is that there was, my understanding, a significant majority of the board that in its earlier decision believed that a change of leadership was necessary. The procedures that were used in using a discussion in with the president as opposed to a vote that the bylaws typically require, I think is subject to fair scrutiny. But I'm not going to make any announcements, obviously, today. I've got hundreds of board appointments that I make, and I will make them in the next within the next week or so. They go into effect the first of next week. And so I'll make all those at the same time. There are a lot of important board appointments, all 15 of the universities, all the community colleges, many, many other boards. And so I'll make all those at once.
A lot of people believe that if you would make this decision now, that it would help the Board of Visitors to make their decision easier, that if...
Well, I don't know who those many people are, but, you know, I've got to do what I think is the best and right. And I didn't want to inject any politics. Frankly, I'm very disappointed with
the... Let me ask about the political...
Well, let me finish this.
Go ahead.
No, I'm somewhat disappointed with the treatment. This is the first woman president of the UVA. This is the first woman rector of UVA. This is a dispute, as I've called it, within the family. This is a legitimate discussion about this great flagship university that's been in place since Mr. Jefferson planted those seeds in 1819. and civil and orderly discourse and debate about excellence in higher education is timely. We shouldn't be demonizing the rector, who was simply the spokesperson for what the majority of the board felt. We shouldn't be having procedures that don't dignify a proper evaluation of the president. And so I think there's concern here. But the boards run the universities. They are appointed by governors to make decisions. Only they are equipped with all the facts, all the knowledge, not the governor, not politicians, not donors or faculty or newspaper editorial boards. I mean, there's been a frenzy about it, but I think that this is a management decision. And I've instructed the board members to make the very best decision with the unique facts that are in their disposal about what's in the best interest of the University of Virginia and its future, keeping in mind that the General Assembly and I and others have already said reform needs to take place. Taking the excellence and moving it to the next level is going to happen.
Will you be disappointed if the board today goes behind closed doors to make this decision?
I think they've already decided to have an open meeting.
Well, they're going to start out as an open meeting.
Well, all personnel decisions are typically done in executive session, not just with this board, Mark, but all boards. And it's to protect the personal records and information of people about whom the discussions are being made. So that again is up to them. What I've said is if they use the typical method, which is a closed session, is when they come out, what I have demanded of them in very clear terms last Friday in writing was to come out with a clear, unified statement about the future leadership of the university and the reasons for any decision they make. If they decide to do it in a public meeting where everybody is free to participate and each board member may state his or her opinion, that's fine too. But once a governor starts micromanaging boards, then our entire governance structure for how boards and commissions run in this Commonwealth is shot. And so we might as well not appoint these people that we trust to make these decisions.
You said the politics should not play a role in this. Tim Kaine, former Democratic governor, appointed Helen Dragas. Should this be an issue as Governor Kaine faces off with Governor Allen?
No, absolutely not. He's politicizing it. I wish I had asked all the politicians, please, you're entitled to your opinion, but this is a management decision. This is not a political decision. It's not whether or not a president or a governor or a faculty member or an administrator is popular. It's about whether or not there is progress according to the goals that have been set by the Commonwealth and what is in the best interest of the university to continue to get it to the next level as it competes with other privates and Ivies and excellent universities around the world. This is an incredible university. It's got amazing faculty. But I think I think the rector and the board laid out some things last week in a missive on Thursday and Friday that said, here are some of the things that we've got some concerns about. And these were bona fide. These were not political discussions. These were everything from research to the use of technology to a cogent strategic plan for the university, to faculty salaries, to the endowment and fundraising, and the administrative expenses of the university increasing. I mean, these are all specific metrics that we should have the boards of every university in America looking at to say, how do we deliver greater value and more opportunity at less cost? And I've been pushing reform the last couple of years, as you know, not having slots for more than 40% of Virginia kids in Virginia universities, unacceptable. Doubling college tuitions every 10 years, unacceptable. So we've got to look at some things. But we have an excellent world-class university with great people. And listen, all the people that have weighed in on this, Mark, I know love the university. They just have some different opinions. But making it a media frenzy and making it a political discussion, not appropriate. This is about what's in the best interest from a management perspective for the school.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonald's here, and we're going to move to your questions and calls and Twitter questions after a look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
It's Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonald, live from the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center. Your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
For those on the phones, please hold on. We'll be getting to your calls very shortly. The number to dial in is 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com. You can send in your questions via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
And let's get right to the calls. They've been waiting a long time. John is calling from Springfield. John, you're on with the governor. Go ahead.
Hello, Governor. I was reading about your roundtable in Lynchburg recently, and I was wondering if you could explain what Year of the Entrepreneur actually is.
Yeah, thanks, John. All the data would suggest that if Virginia and America are going to continue to provide the opportunity, especially for young people in the future, that the current pace of job creation that the current corporations provide isn't enough. So what we need is more entrepreneurship. We need the next Bill Gates or Steve Jobs to create a world-class company like an Apple or a Microsoft. And so what we're trying to do is stimulate entrepreneurship, put policies in place that promote small business. 71% of all the jobs, 98% of all the businesses are small businesses in Virginia. And so what we're trying to do is showcase companies like Snag a Job in Richmond and Thomas Johnson's Furniture Company in Lynchburg that have started with a seed and then produced tremendous results and lots of jobs, and showcase entrepreneurs and encourage others to model themselves after them and to start new industries.
What are the latest unemployment numbers in the state?
Mark, we're very fortunate. We're down to 5.6% unemployment rate, lowest in the Southeast, lowest in 3 years. I think some of the things that we've done to reduce taxes and regulation and promote business and create new incentives and travel internationally are starting to take root. So we're pleased. We're well below the national average of 8.2%, but we still got a couple hundred thousand people unemployed in Virginia. That's unacceptable.
You mentioned international travel. You just got back from a trip to Europe. Is that going to result in jobs for Virginia?
It will. We announced the first day in Germany, actually, from Bertelsmann AG, the largest media company in Germany, has just announced a big project in Clark County, Virginia, about 160 jobs there. There are two more that I know from between Sweden and Germany that we will be able to announce soon. But then there are immense opportunities. Every place we're in, we talk to CEOs, decision makers of major companies, manufacturing, pharmaceutical, and others. And then did our typical summary and invites to people in the agriculture and film and tourism and other industries. And so each of these have been productive. You saw we just announced about a $300-400 million agriculture deal with China as a result of my trip over there last year.
This is an export deal?
This is an export deal. Soybeans from Purdue to Dandong Port in China. It's the largest ag export deal I think we've ever announced in Virginia. That's one deal, one port from one trip, and there's a lot more to come. So, you know, the nature of international business, Mark, you got to look people in the eye and say, hey, Virginia's the number one place in America for business. This is what we're all about. I'm inviting you to come, and you'll find a great home. And by the way, if you want to export Virginia business or import Virginia products, we have a ways to make that happen too, and it's working.
Let's get another caller. We have Bill is calling from Pasadena. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Good morning, Governor.
Hi, Bill.
I drive 500 miles a night. I'm a truck driver, and the problem is many times I go through a lane closure that's unnecessary, and I'm wondering if there's any kind of upper management decisions that can be made to eliminate some of that, because it's really frustrating.
Is that Pasadena, California, or Pasadena, Virginia?
I live in Pasadena, Maryland.
Oh.
But I drive in Virginia every night. I go to Charlottesville, all that area.
All right. Well, thanks. That's a tough job. Bill, I can tell you, we'll make a note of that and talk. I know VDOT only closes those lanes if they believe it's necessary for road improvements, maintenance, or the safety of those workers. But and they do it at night because obviously there's less traffic at night. Except you're out there. I mean, day and night. I'll take a look at that and see if there's any review of the policies that could be made.
Speaking of traffic, if you drive up and down the 495 and you see the progress being made on the hot lanes, the signs are up, the mm-hmm. lanes are painted. It looks like it could open any day now. How is progress going there?
Progress is going well on that hot lanes project, Mark. But that's just the start. Listen, as you know, I grew up here in Fairfax County. I've seen the explosive growth in this economic engine of the state up here. Our transportation plan is about getting things done and not making excuses. And we're trying to break through the bureaucracy and get things done with bonds, with tolls, with all the different things that need to be done. So, look, we're still pursuing the 95 hot lanes to add to the 495 hot lanes. Rail to Dulles has got to be kept on track in a reasonable way that protects the taxpayer's wallet. And spot improvements on 66. There's a lot more we're doing with that $4 billion bond package and infrastructure bank that we got last year.
Let's get another caller in here. Kate is calling from Alexandria. You're on with the governor, Kate.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Kate.
My sister is a captain in the Army, and she's getting deployed soon, unfortunately. But
wow.
I'm concerned for her job safety when she comes back. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the V3 initiative to increase veteran employment.
Yeah, well, first, having had a daughter that was deployed to Iraq a few years ago, I can tell you how much I appreciate the sacrifice and service your family's going through. Listen, we are the most veteran-friendly state in the country. We're always looking for ways to protect the rights of veterans and make them welcome and appreciated and loved and supported when they get back home. We've got about 15,000 National Guardsmen of our National Guard that have come back home after multiple deployments. We've got the V3 program, which is all about creating opportunities for veterans and jobs when they get back. But we also have the existing benefits of the Soldiers and Sailor Civil Relief Act, and we're 100% committed to making sure that those jobs for veterans that are deployed are protected when they return. We're trying to find ways to make sure employers know that young men and women that serve in the military have incredible skills, not only technical ones, but in management and leadership that make them great employees, and we're helping getting them placed when they return.
We got a lot of calls and emails about the Redskins and the decision the Redskins recently announced about a facility in Virginia. But along with that came an incentive from the state. And a lot of people are questioning that. The Redskins are one of, if not the most profitable NFL franchise there is. Dan Snyder is not short of cash. Why give him an incentive to stay when a lot of people think, because, as you point out, the business-friendly atmosphere of Virginia entices businesses anyway, the likelihood is that the Redskins would have stayed without that incentive?
Well, you're framing the question wrong first, Mark. We don't give money to individuals. We give money to localities, and we give money to corporations as an incentive to either come to Virginia or stay in Virginia. So I look at this as simply what's in the best interest of the taxpayers. And we analyze the economic impact of the Redskins. This is a corporate home in Loudoun County. And the corporation generates about $9.8 million in state and local tax revenues over the years. And so we put together a package, about $4 million, to go to this project. And Loudoun did about $6 million. Richmond has put in some money because the training camp will now be in Richmond for an extended period of time. The Redskins are going to move that training camp anyway. It might have been in Virginia, might have been back to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, might have been in Maryland, might have been somewhere else, losing all that economic impact. It was well documented for months in the Washington Post. They were looking at Washington. We understood Maryland was involved. And so for this amount of investment by the people of Virginia, we will keep the corporate headquarters here. It will expand by $30 million, which is more jobs and more tax revenue. The training camp will remain for a long period of time in Virginia. That payback will come quickly to the citizens.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell taking your questions on Ask the Governor.
Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
And your chance to speak to the governor is now. Call us 877-336-1035. Final minutes of the broadcast this time, 877-336-1035.
Governor, let's get back to some of the national headlines, and that is the Supreme Court decision on immigration. Your thoughts on that ruling on the Arizona law?
Well, they struck down under the Supremacy Clause two provisions where Arizona tried to mimic a federal law with regard to people not being able to be employed and to apply for employment if they're illegally present, and some other provisions. And they said, look, that's a federal sphere, and only the feds can have a law like that, and therefore the states can't have a parallel law. But they upheld one that basically allows for the stop and detention part, which I think was the key part that Governor Brewer had advocated. I think the bigger point, though, Mark, is there's just real frustration in the states that this administration, while promising comprehensive immigration solutions, has just absolutely failed. And they have not really focused on even some of the basic law enforcement internally. We've applied for 287G. Took us almost 2 years to get an answer, and the answer was no, just to try to police up illegal immigrants committing crimes in Virginia, which is something that I wanted to be able to do. So there's a lot of frustration by governors across the country about about this administration. But look, the Supreme Court has ruled under the Supremacy Clause. Part of it's upheld, part of it's stricken. And it won't have, as far as we can tell, we're still reviewing the case, but it doesn't look like it'll have any impact on any existing Virginia laws.
What was your thought of the original Arizona law? Governor Romney had called it a model. Did you think it was a model, something you might like to replicate in Virginia?
We've already have a lot of that already in Virginia. And we don't have those parallel laws that were now stricken, but we have other ones. For instance, a law that says that if somebody is illegally present and charged with one of these enumerated serious crimes, that there's a presumption that they will not be given bail and therefore be detained so that they will not a flight risk and can be prosecuted and other things like that. And those laws won't be affected. The general frustration is just the lack of enforcement of the existing federal laws. That's why Arizona passed the law in the first place, so they'd have a state law that they could enforce that's similar to an existing federal law. So it's not the policies that the feds have stricken. They said the states can't do what the federal government is already supposed to do. They're just not doing it well.
How about the Obama administration's recent move on illegal immigrants under the age of 30 not being deported? How do you come down on that decision?
I can tell you that, for a while early on in the Obama administration, they had actually been, I thought, good. I think Director Morton at ICE is doing the very best job he can with the resources he's got there. I think they're undercapitalized. But they had actually been doing a good job enforcing the civil law and getting people deported. But I think now the closer we get to the election, I think we're getting some political decisions that are being made by the president, I suppose, to curry favor with various groups. But the law is the law. And I think if we ever turn our eye to the rule of law and choose arbitrarily not to enforce certain parts of it, as this administration has done in several areas, that's really not a good thing.
You mentioned the presidential race. I know you come here looking forward to this question.
Absolutely.
Every month, let me just roll through it. Governor Romney has said that they are closely vetting Mark Rubio for the VP slot. How about you? Are you being vetted? Have you been asked for any documentation, any records?
Mark, this is really going to disappoint you, but I'm not discussing the vice presidential vetting process.
Well, this is a different answer than you've given in the past. In the past, you've been categorically said, no, you weren't being vetted.
Well, there was no vetting going on.
Well, now there is vetting going on.
There apparently is a vetting process, and I'm just not going to discuss it. You can address those questions to the Romney campaign.
So you, from here on out, you won't talk about whether or not you're being vetted?
I think the next thing you'll hear from me is congratulating whoever was selected as vice president.
Could that be a self-congratulations?
I told Governor Romney anything I can do to help him, I'm going to do. I was out with him Saturday in Utah with a number of people who were supporting the Romney campaign effort. My goal is to help him in Virginia. I'll be here in Loudoun County with Governor Romney on Wednesday.
But it would seem you don't think your constituents deserve to know whether or not you're even in the running, in the mix, being vetted, providing documents.
Well, there's only
campaign.
One person that knows that, and that's Governor Romney. So I'm just suggesting I'm not the person to ask. Listen, I've got my hands full. I've got thunderstorms. We've got UVA. I've got major reforms I've got to implement. I've got 860 new laws I got to start enforcing Monday. So I've got plenty to do, Mark. And I guess all the speculation, I'm going to leave that completely up to you pundits and to the Romney campaign.
But you see how this is a change in what you've said. Before, you've been very clear about.
Well, now apparently there's vetting going on, and it's I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about it. So I'll let the mystery novelists continue writing whatever they choose to write. But I'm working on governing Virginia, helping to elect a new chief executive officer of the United States, because we have a horrible lack of leadership in Washington on everything from debt to deficit to energy to spending and jobs. That's my goal, and I'll let the Romney campaign talk any further.
Let me finish on this
yes.
note, and that is hunger in Virginia.
Yes.
And I know there is something that you're trying to do about it. You've challenged the Chamber of Commerce. What is your challenge?
Well, this is really exciting. Something I did as Attorney General, Mark, with the law firms, and the law firms have raised 7 million pounds of food over the last 7 years. I'm very proud of the legal community stepping forward. This year, I decided to issue the governor's bowl challenge to all of the business community. The Chambers of Commerce have taken this and run one with it. Incredibly responsive, our corporate citizenship here in Virginia. We've asked them to raise lots of money and food. So between Memorial Day and July 4th, they've got a challenge urging businesses all over the state to give generously for the aid of the food banks. And I hope people do it. There's still a week left, so I urge all these Northern Virginia generous businesses to please step forward, help the chamber, and let's do something good for people in need.
And again, you are or you are not being vetted for the vice president's slot. Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell joining us every month for Ask the Governor. We do appreciate you making the trek up from Richmond.
Appreciate it.